and developed a very close relationship with Roger's family. And we know that there's stuff going on there where they're not really very close. But O'Connor still has incredible Rogers sources. He's based out of New York, so he was around Rogers the last 2 years there. And this is what he said about these personal issues that Rogers is facing.
I think I have a pretty good sense of what it is, and I don't think it's something that would prevent him from playing football. But I did reach out to his father, frankly, and asked, I hate to ask this question, is there anything health-wise with your family? And he said, no. We haven't talked to Aaron, and we don't know what he's referring to. We heard and saw what he said on McAfee. And talking to a couple other people close to Aaron, I think I have a sense of what it might be. I'm not comfortable repeating
gotcha.
It
That's fine.
Right now. But I don't think it would prevent him from playing football with the Steelers.
All right, what is your reaction to all that, Malzi? Both the comments on Rogan and then the follow-up there where Roger's dad said, hey, it's not me, it's not his mom, it's not his brother, it's not his sister.
I still feel like
cancer battle.
I still feel like are we automatically connecting though? Because what's weird for me is O'Connor says I know what it is, but I'm not, out of respect for Rogers and whoever else is involved in this, I'm not going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him on that.
But then
front.
He felt comfortable saying that it's not someone in his family.
Yeah. So yeah, we can all have close friends who are battling cancer. But like, I almost, Ian saying it's not, like, essentially intimating it's not this insanely major, major thing, right? Because that's, am I correctly, like, paraphrasing?
Yeah,
kind
he said
of how
it's
he,
not something that's going to prevent him from right. playing football if it was a major
Do
thing.
Do you even directly correlate what he said to Rogan about friends who are in the weeds with cancer with that being the actual thing?
So
I don't even know if you can.
I know you were out. You were in Nashville, I think, when Rogers went on McAfee. So I don't know how much of that you ended up ever going back and watching or listening to. But I just thought he sounded like someone who had a family member or friend close to him that was dealing with like a grave, serious illness. He didn't say it, but I thought he pretty much intimated that as best he could without saying that in the interview. That was my takeaway from it.
If you do connect the two, then yes, I would imagine he shows up for the start of OTAs.
Like these, he said, in the weeds with these people, maybe treatment they're doing better in.
Or just like he wanted to be around these people as long as he could. I mean, it not being related to anybody in his family, we know that there's enough friction between Rogers and his immediate family that whoever these people are who are in the weeds, if it's people plural, he might be closer with them and treat them more like family than his actual family at this point.
I agree.
So when I think about it in those terms,
they function as his family.
When I think about it in those terms, I think maybe he would act more like it was a true biological immediate family member because he doesn't have a close relationship with his biological
family. I also think
family.
It's possible. I don't think it's out of the question that, let's say, these people who were close to him fought cancer and we don't know how that went, but maybe it gave him a perspective like, you know what? I really like football. I don't love football enough where in months like April and May, I'm going to make it my life. So, you know what, Steelers? You guys can tell me you're good and you don't need me, but I'm just going to let you know right now, this makes me want to live my life during this time of year.
I'm going to treat every day like it's precious and football does not need to be front and center.
Yeah.
I'm going to prioritize different things when I don't absolutely have to be there.
And if you guys don't like that, that's fine. That's on you.
I'm good with you not liking it if you don't want to bring me in. But they've let him like do this.
But the one thing about that that I don't really understand is if that theory is anywhere close to being true, why couldn't they come to some kind of agreement where he signed a contract
but then didn't show up
until it was mandatory?
Do they not like the optics of that, maybe? Like, would the team say, why are we? Because they have plausible deniability right now. They're still getting led around by the nose. But, I mean, if they made that much of a special dispensation for him and it was signed, sealed, delivered that way, I could see Art Rooney not liking the optics of that more than the current situation.
But the current situation is people want to take the Steelers at their internal word where they're telling their players and everybody he's going to sign. But it's just like they were telling me and other people that Aiyuk was going to be a Steeler. So there is that, too. I know it's different. I know it's not completely apples to apples. but we're also dealing with somebody who might wake up one day and say, you know what? I'm not officially a Steeler. Maybe I'm not ready to go be a Steeler. That's the conundrum here. You know, like going back to the Florio conversation from last hour, we're getting close to another one of these made up deadlines that people in the football world have tried to put on this situation, which is he'll sign in time for the mandatory workouts. And if he's not signed by then, the reaction will be, oh, well, not that big deal. Not that big of a deal. He's got until whatever the first reporting date is for Latrobe.
He's
to
got
show
two,
up.
He's still got 2 months for this.
I mean, I now almost, she's there. I mean, Brooks around the owners in Minneapolis and around these bigwig NFL people. I don't think that what she heard is that far off. Could it honestly be that he's given them, all he said is that, yeah, I plan on playing for you guys, but I don't know when I'm going to be ready. And there's like no date whatsoever that they're circling now. That he could, if he wanted to take this thing into August, they would be fine with it because they still think that it beats the alternative of going with Mason Rudolph at quarterback.
If it goes into August where they're well into camp and that's the first time he shows up, that's actually an over-the-top slap in the face at Mason Rudolph. I don't care how bad he was with Tennessee for chunks of last year. If I were at Rudolph, I'd be like,
but they
really
won't look at it that way because of what Ben said, HOF. And
I like what you said better, OLD.
Yep. Thank you for that, Malzi.
It's nice
every once in a while to compliment each other, I think.
I put you on a pedestal, just usually outside the show, I tell people that I think you're as good as it gets in this country.
Okay, but
in local sports,
hold on a second,
talk,
though.
No
time
better.
Out. Stop. But inherent in those comments is you have to say those things because people are ripping me, so you're trying to defend me. That's what doing now.
No, I frequently defend you when people rip you because that still happens. And I'm like, no, he's awesome. He's great to work with, and he's super talented.
Well, I feel the same way about you, Chris.
Well, other than the fact that you would be telling lies to those people, I appreciate it. I think you should be more truthful and say it's like an anchor I drag around, and that's how I've gotten so strong.
Donnie, we have to check
out. By the way, speaking of your strength,
yes.
We had, I believe this was Turd Samich, our friend, came through. He said, Camp Pony, with all the storms happening, and they are serious, can't he just use his muscle to toss those storms right out the door? The pony muscles have become a huge subplot in the YouTube comments.
Donnie, I like to check in with you every once in a while to see where your head's at with the Rodgers stuff. Because remember, there was that lunch with that mystery Steeler. Did that honestly put you at ease enough where you're like 100% sold now that Aaron Rodgers is coming here?
It just seems like it will eventually happen, but the players, at least the one I was with, had no idea when. Like, nobody knows. I think we've just all fallen into, like, yeah, he'll be here.
You know what's unique about, so here's a thought that I think is sort of an original one in this very narrow way about Rodgers. What makes him unique, I think, among players is, like, there have been other situations where a player played the will-he-won't-he game, but most players have, like, a robust network of other players that they will talk to and, like, quietly maybe say, hey, don't go public, but, like, I am going to play and I am going to reach out to you and tell you that. We know Rodgers, like, true inner circle is, what, 4 people, maybe? We assume the agent is one.
Adams seems to be in there.
He is presumably dating, what is the woman, self-described witch or something like that?
It's the, what the heck is it called? Not a warlock, it's whatever
A Wiccan?
A Wiccan, thank you.
Okay.
Well, he was dating a Wiccan. I don't know if the one he's dating now is a Wiccan.
Okay, so either way, so that, maybe Devonte Adams, maybe a teammate, or just some random friend of his, but, like, to Donnie's point, like, he's not communicating, this person's optimistic that Donnie had lunch with, but they really don't know. Unlike most other players, I don't feel like Rodgers fraternizes with a ton of fellow NFLers. I don't feel like he's making time
to,
like, text
people. No, he's going on Joe Rogan's podcast,
Chris. That's what
I
mean. So I think usually in this, any kind of situation like this, you could probably get a better sense from some of the people theoretically he'd be playing with, but Rodgers just does his own thing, man.
We have an opportunity for you to try to prove that you can talk the talk on the Fan. Come out to the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department on Thursday, June 5th, 7 to 9 o'clock, and take part in the first Next up on the fan talent search event, we'll be at multiple locations this summer to try to find the next top host in Pittsburgh. We'll pick two winners from each location who go on to the final round. The winner will be the newest part-time talent added to our fan roster. Info available with dates and locations at 93.7thefan.com.
You think there's another Mulsey out there?
I do. I've gotten texts from people who are trying to figure out if they want to go for it. Jeff in South Park.
Johnny the Barber texted Johnny me the same barber. Thing. Anthony in Oakland has not consulted me yet in any kind of back channel way.
Vic in Hazelwood, now that he's gone national.
Johnny the Barber says he is a stand-up comedian on the side and feels like that would give him a leg up.
Vic in Hazelwood went viral.
What did he do?
New York Post write-up.
About his, isn't he, Vic the one who schedules sex with
Scheduling
his wife?
Sex saves a marriage.
Well, you were telling me
you
about
schedule
very,
it. You put it in the
Put in the Google
docket.
Calendar.
Yep. Hey, what
are
do we got going on
are
tonight?
Are you attending this meeting? Yes.
Maybe. Is maybe an option? I think
oh,
it is.
Maybe would be bad. What happens if it's a one, forget it, but you told me about a marriage that is apparently a very happy celebrity marriage because they live next door in different houses.
Yeah.
That's not a marriage.
I think I could thrive in that scenario
I
later in life.
I know you could, but that isn't a marriage.
Aditi Kinkabwala brought to us by Bet365, the NFL on CBS reporter. Right, Aditi? I think that would work. You live next door to your spouse and you pop over when you want to have dinner with them or watch a show or something like that.
There might be a lot less bickering in my house.
Right, once
the
kids are grown up, you know, have your space.
I mean, I think it might be easier once they're grown up to share again. But right now, it's just too much to have to clean up after two kids plus a husband.
Ooh. I love when he catches strays on this show. I really do.
Catches strays? Well, that was a direct hit.
Did I catch a stray earlier? Were you making some negative commentary about the Cornell Big Red who are in the final four for lacrosse? Did that happen?
Can you name one of the
My source is correct.
Can you name one of the other schools that's in that final four?
I do believe Penn State is in.
Yep.
Yes.
Keep going.
My understanding is that Georgetown is.
No, they lost to Maryland.
Oh, I bet there's one very annoying school.
You're missing one more with the most national championships in lacrosse history.
I do know that there is a school also in upstate New York, not nearly as beautiful as Cornell, where people who go there try to act like they're Ivy Leaguers but aren't actually Ivy Leaguers. Maybe that school? Is that the one you're talking about, the orange one? Because they couldn't be fully red, couldn't be a primary color, so they had to pick like an offshoot of a primary color.
I'll make sure your peers like Andrew Catalan are aware of the comments you're making right now about that school.
My son's favorite color, orange, just caught an unbelievable stray right there. You're ripping. You're saying it's not
you know,
a primary color?
Trying to find something to get on Pony. Although the little orange mascot, that's always been a little, like, what? I mean, have you loved the mascot or were you always a little perplexed
one
by why
of
your mascot
the,
was a fruit?
So my RA one year, my
is
sophomore year.
Is the
year,
mascot supposed to be a male orange or a female
No, it's
orange?
Supposed to be genderless. They changed that.
The genderless mascot.
It used to be an orange man,
you know,
but they just
I
made it
like
an
there's
orange.
There's a party in Congress that could have an issue with that. I think that you have to be
orange.
Assigned a gender.
So
I think...
The tangerine.
The RA on my floor my sophomore year also doubled as one of the mascots. And I used to do a lot of drugs my early years in college. I've said that. And got
we're
my life
together. Every line right
no, we're
now,
not. I'm just
oh,
being,
my goodness.
Being.
Trust me, Aditi. This is a typical
being very
PM
transparent.
Team segment.
And one time okay. We got back very early in the morning. I think it was the time where people would get ready for classes. And instead, we were coming in, my buddy and I. And this RA was dressed in full mascot regalia in the common room at like 6:30 in the morning.
Oh my.
And I was like,
were you on psychedelics?
Yeah,
that
I
would
thought,
have been an absolute trip.
That's what I thought was going on. I was
oh,
still dealing with the
oh,
after effects from that night out. We heard briefly what Aaron Rodgers said on the Joe Rogan show.
Wait. Keep going. So
he
you
thought he was
mascot,
tripping out of his brain.
You thought you were tripping, but then did you have a conversation with the RA?
That would have been even trippier, Aditi. He'd have been like, the orange is talking to me?
No, I think I was. I think my recollection was I freaked out. It was not like one where I wanted to like go
one.
Give him a high five
not
or talk
Ellis.
About things. It was, yeah, it was like, what the hell's going on here? This is spooky.
Okay, but just one last question. Is this like Brownie the Elf? Do you like Syracuse gear that has the orange on it?
I do, and it's very unlike Brownie the Elf, which is the worst mascot in all of pro football.
All right.
So Rodgers goes on Rogan today and talks about everything but football, but does sneak in that people close to him were battling cancer. And we've heard people connect the McAfee dots to that, although Ian O'Connor came on the show Friday and said, I talked to Aaron's dad. It's nobody in his family that's actually going through this health crisis. Now, O'Connor did say with me, Aditi, that he still believes that Aaron Rodgers will be signed in time for mandatory minicamp. Do you share that opinion?
I can't tell you that I feel strongly either way. I'm sorry. I don't mean to hedge. But I am really, truly down the middle on this. I do want to say something, though. Aaron Rodgers has made very clear, yes, he certainly has a biological family, but there can also be people close to him that are not necessarily blood related that he feels strongly enough about.
And that's what Chris brought up last segment, and I thought that was a very good point. He might even look at those people as closer to than family at this point in his life.
Yes, and sometimes that's the way it goes. So just because Aaron's dad has said that doesn't diminish whatever right. it is he's been dealing with or the people that he's trying to be there for.
Yep.
So I would just like to say that, not to make an apology in any way. I don't, you know, honestly, it's felt like, and I've said this to you, Pony, that if you're a Steelers fan, you sort of wish that the Steelers felt so strongly about having Aaron Rodgers in the building and be a part of setting a new tone for a new season, offering leadership on a side of the ball that's really struggled to have some strong leadership. And we know that there are teams that were, the Giants being one, he wasn't on their timeline. And the Giants certainly know that Aaron Rodgers is a better option come September than Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston. But they felt it was really necessary to get somebody in the building and on the moving train as soon as possible. The Steelers have had a lot of patience here, clearly haven't felt that way. You'd like to hope that their line in their sand is mandatory minicamp. Is really official start of OTAs, at least. I mean, we're talking about 9 days here. And mandatory minicamp, my camera cuts off to as well.
Their line, to your point, is more like whenever you feel like it, bro.
And that's exactly where I was going with that, is that you would, in theory, like to think that there's a line here where they're like, you know what, by this date, we're good. But if we can't do this, then we're just going to move forward in a different way. And maybe that move forward in a different way is, okay, we are all in on Mason Rudolph and how we help them. Or maybe that line is, okay, let's look into the Kirk Cousins thing and see how much the Falcons will pick up for him. Or let's go see, I mean, there are other teams that have a plethora of quarterbacks all of a sudden. You'd like to think that, but there's no indication that I've been given by the Steelers' behavior thus far that they really have that line in the sand. So how can I sit here and say, oh yeah, 100% it's going to happen by OTAs?
So we'd like some tea from you on something from a few years ago when you were covering the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger went on his podcast and gave two predictions, what the Steelers' record would look like with Rodgers and what it would look like with Mason Rudolph. And he said 11-6 with Rodgers and 7-10 with Mason Rudolph. And he said the difference there is Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and Mason Rudolph is not. But we couldn't help but think that some of that is still some of the resentment that Ben has towards Mason Rudolph. And when Chris and I were talking about this, Aditi, I said to him, I kind of remember hearing stories that when they first met each other, Rudolph really did not go out of his way to like kiss Ben's feet and make Ben feel like Rudolph respected him as a franchise quarterback. Ben felt more like Rudolph was here as the cocky kid that was trying to take his job. Is that how you remember it?
I don't remember Mason ever being deferential and bowing down to Ben. But I don't remember Mason being supremely cocky either. I never, in my observations, got the sense. It's funny, right now I'm talking to you and I can think of three offensive linemen that I would love to text immediately four offensive linemen, hey, how do you remember this? But at least in my interactions, I never felt that Mason thought he was walking in there and taking Ben's job. And if you remember, Ben was pretty open. And we've heard quarterbacks say this right and left. So Ben certainly isn't the only one who has said this, but he essentially said something to the effect, Pony probably remembers it exactly, that it's not my job to help him.
Yes,
it's
he said that to me and Cook. Yeah.
Right. So it's not as if Ben was like, oh, come here, young whippersnapper. I'm going to teach you every single thing I know. And we also know that Ben didn't love the idea that Mason was drafted at all. He's like, it was Josh Dobbs, right? Josh Dobbs is already here.
So do we screw up the pick?
Get somebody that could help us right now. Okay, so you are remembering all of this perfectly. I think what Ben is saying is actually very, very fair. I don't think this is leftover resentment in any way. If anything, you recall a few years ago, he openly admitted to Kenny Pickett that he wasn't initially rooting for him to succeed as someone who followed in his footsteps. So if we're going to pretend that Ben is still caught up in some sort of petty nonsense, you would think he wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers to succeed. But I don't think that that's reality. I don't think that Ben is still living in this world where the only person who's allowed to win in Pittsburgh is him. Mm. So similarly, I don't think that he's living in this world where, okay, I'm going to hold it against Mason Rudolph that X number of years ago, he was drafted to be my successor. Let's tell the truth. Mason Rudolph wasn't his successor. Mason Rudolph didn't prove that, yeah, he could indeed step into Ben's shoes. It didn't happen. So there's a lot, you know, as much as Aaron Rodgers struggled record-wise last year, there was a lot more wrong with the Jets than the play of quarterback. There were a lot of limitations. There were a lot of ways that he was hamstrung and challenged, not the least of which was his coach getting fired out of nowhere, the offensive staff completely changing. The defense did not uphold its end of the bargain a lot. And Aaron Rodgers was still coming off of that injury. And I've said this to you repeatedly, as we had him during the season, he kept talking about feeling significantly better. I expect him to physically this year be significantly better than he was last year physically, despite the added year. It's just the added year of age. It's the added year post-injury that should have an impact. And Aaron Rodgers is a very, very heady, accomplished player who's seen everything that there is not going to get fooled and can still make the throws. I mean, there's a reason that he's still out there playing. I've told you this before. He openly told us in our meeting that when he is done playing, he said, I'm going to Kaiser Sose, everyone. And for anybody who doesn't remember The Usual Suspects, that's the guy that just disappears. Aaron Rodgers is not going to play.
I hope he doesn't fully Kaiser Soze everyone, because that guy blew up a boat full of people who didn't like him.
Very good point.
The point being that he's not going to play if he doesn't think
Wasn't
that
Kevin
he can
Spacey
play
who did that?
At an elite level. Yes, it was Kevin Spacey.
Can you name Kevin Spacey's regular character name in that movie before we figured out he's Kaiser Soze?
Was it Greg Warren?
No, I can't.
Verbal Kint.
The long snapper.
I just ruined Usual Suspects, but it's 33 years after
Aditi,
it came
have
out.
A good one. We'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Debrief time. Donnie Football segment brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of breaking experience. Question for Donnie and Saloni's related before we get into his football topic. I went to the gym and I had cold cuts, a bag of turkey and cheese that sat in my car for an hour and a half in 55 to 60 degree weather. Do you think I can still eat it, or would you throw that out if you were me?
I tend to be a risk taker in times like that, so I'd say that's not quite hot enough yet.
The bag still felt cold, but cool when I came out.
Do you have any sort of like lunchbox that you put it in, or it was just literally sitting on that plastic bag?
No, it was not like the sun was beating down on it. I had a plastic bag that was tied shut, so there was no way that the sunlight could get
into
it.
Still, the ambient like heat around it. Okay, here's my thought. You do this in the summer when it's a true 80-degree day, I'd throw it out. But it was cool enough out there today that I don't think your car is heating up. There wasn't really a ton of, like, briefly the sun came out, but it's been mostly overcast or rainy. Here's the other thing. I initially was going to say, man, you effed up here. Don't do that. You're going to get sick. You go to a party where there's a cold cut tray. People pick at it for hours, and those cold cuts sit out, and they're not chilled,
and, here's,
and you're fine.
Great point. And here's the other thing that was my made me feel better about eventually eating them.
Okay.
I also had a protein bar that was in the bag that was coated in chocolate. No melt.
Oh, you're good, I think. I think
no melt whatsoever.
Like, I say 90 to 95% certainty you're good here. You don't want to make a habit of it, but, like, I think you got away with it this time. Here's a polite suggestion from me.
Yeah.
Just get a little cooler and throw one of those little ice bags in.
There was also a robust discussion at the gym today around this topic. If you ate a 10-ounce filet mignon every day of your life, would it kill you?
Yes. Colorectal
kill
cancer.
You by when?
Like, yeah, how, I mean,
would that be the cause of death?
Life. Yeah, I think it would be. Because they talk about keep the red meat down for colon cancer purposes.
So how often are you supposed to eat red meat, Malzi?
Not often. Chicken and fish.
What's not often?
Like maybe once a week.
Oh,
if you're
dude,
trying to
I'm
do
going
it.
Way over that.
I understand
that's
that.
That's not good.
What are you eating every week?
I'm saying it raises the risk. It's like just raising a risk factor.
I mean, Pony's got like the Arnold diet now, so.
I probably have steak at least once a week in some form.
I mean, okay. I eat too much red meat too, but
and
I'm
then
trying
I probably,
to go the other way. You got to eat a lot more fish, Pony. Wild-caught fish is
Chris, we're
is
not
the
exactly
go.
In a place that's just flush with fish to eat, okay?
You
we're not in San
like,
Diego, pal.
You can go to Costco and get like wild-caught salmon burgers to replace the regular burger.
Okay. What's your debrief, Donnie?
No, hold on. Donnie had something else to say here.
Go ahead, Don.
You said steak just once a week. I don't think
there
that's
might be a
awful.
Burger or a second kind of like
yeah.
you go to a Mexican place
so
and
now
you
it's
get
starting
the chopped
to pile
up steak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
He's got debrief. A lot of iron though. That's how he's gotten so strong. Steak
iron
loaded with
play.
Iron in his blood.
May 21, 2025. Maybe the greatest award in NFL history being introduced. The Protector of the Year, which will honor the league's top offensive lineman. Finally, the most underappreciated position, maybe in all of sport, getting a little light.
Does it have like one of those sponsors they attach? Like, is it the Trojan Protector of the Year?
Well, this is huge because I think this is going to help guys break ties for the Hall of Fame. I also think it's going to be interesting how they differentiate tackle, guard, and center. And I would think based on how tackles are paid, especially left tackles and where they get drafted relative to the other positions, that this could be pretty much who's the best left tackle in the NFL every year. And I'm trying to think like right now who would get that award. If they had this in 2024, who would have won it? Best Protector of the Year.
Wait a minute. Wasn't the Remington and Outland Trophy, or Outland's either
there was interior. There was interior alignment and then tackles.
So I thought the Remington was interior.
Yes.
And then wasn't the Outland Trophy for tackles? Or was that for both sides of the line? You could win the Outland Trophy as a defensive lineman.
No, I think the Outland is just lineman, right?
Broadly, like both sides of the ball.
Let me double check that, Malzi.
I thought the Remington was your center, specifically.
Yeah, that one's interior.
Yeah, Outland is best interior lineman, but it's offense and defense.
Okay. And Remington is?
I think just offensive.
I thought the Remington was specifically
guards and centers. Hold on, let's look at Remington here.
Oh, man, we are getting into a YouTube battle about red meat.
Best center
about
in college
cuts.
Football. That's
okay,
all Remington is.
Cold cuts and red meat now are all people are talking about. Sugar is being discussed in the YouTube comments, Donnie. They don't care about the Remington. They care about cold cuts.
The carnivore diet.
By the way, Pony, cold cuts. I love them. You love them.
Nitrates are bad.
Moderation,
I'm aware of that.
Moderation, brother.
I mean, there would have been some Steelers over the course of history that won this, baby. Webster would have won it.
Dirk
Dawson would have won it.
You think Pouncey would have gotten it at least
I think
once?
Pouncey would have been close and Faneca.
I think you're Faneca I think I don't know.
Steve Hutchinson would have battled Faneca for
I think
it.
You're probably right, but if it's just for one guy, okay?
Then tackles are going to dominate it cuz they're on the edge.
That's what I mean.
Unless the man in the interior is just
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, though. Unlike Aaron Donald, as ultimately an interior player who sometimes lined up on the
edge,
he'd
get a ton of sacks and lead the league sometimes.
If you're an elite guard, what you're doing is not as like easily visible to an average viewer as a tackle.
Like Donnie, here's what I bring up. Like you say, Faneca. Would Fanica have beaten out Jonathan Ogden or Orlando Pace for that award? I think he would have had a hard time doing that in those years.
But would he have lost it every single year?
I think Pony's actually right, though, because like...
You're just giving it to the same guy.
I just think
every time.
It's so much easier for the people who would vote on this kind of award, which would be, I would assume, writers still, Don.
It's called protector, which implies that it's protecting the quarterback,
and
no?
It's so much easier to still just look at who are the guys, especially at left tackle, maybe at right tackle, who are kicking ass. I mean, there's a reason, as he's brought up to start this discussion, there's a reason the pay scales are not the same for each line position, why an elite left tackle is always going to make the most.
Here's what it'll likely turn into. This will be something that turns into like a PFF analytical
award. 100%. Yep, I agree.
Because a lot of people will watch this and think, well, how can we dictate how good this guy is?
Like last...
How do we know if a sack was...
Yep.
If a sack was had, how do we know it was this guy's fault?
Last year, the starting offensive line, as voted by the AP, they're all pro team, Wirfs at left tackle, Tooney at left guard, Humphrey at center, how do you say the guy in Denver, the guard? Quinn Miners?
Miners, yeah.
And then Penei Sewell.
I think Sewell would have gotten it.
I think Sewell would have won it, exactly.
Because he's an animal. Also, because they were running designed offensive plays for him as an eligible.
Yep.
And he had kind of the name recognition. That's another thing. If you're a guy who ends up being really good and you happen to be at the top of a draft class as opposed to a guy who came out of the second, third, fourth round to be really good, you're automatically going to be top of mind for people. By the way, we have a chef who has chimed in.
Mm.
This debrief has gone all over the place. A chef, Chef Dan, has chimed in on the cold cuts in the car, Pony.
Yeah.
You are good for at least 4 hours in that temperature. That stuff's packed with so many preservatives, it's barely even meat. It's fine.
Also, we were just talking food at the gym today, trying to do everything but put ourselves through hell.
Yeah, the gym has become like your little neighborhood hangout. It's show
ideas.
It's
like my bar barbershop. Yep. Do you think if push came to shove, you could go to a Pirates Dollar Dog Night and over the course of 9 innings eat 12 hot dogs?
Yes.
Yeah, the buns would be the problem there.
Over the course of the whole game?
Yep.
So yeah. I've got 2.5 hours. Man,
yeah.
With the pitch clock now, it's become
I mean,
harder,
they're also not the Chef
jumbos.
Homer dogs that were like a pound.
Oh, my God.
They're like the
yeah,
little
those
guys.
Things. Yeah, those are the they're practically cocktail
The Johnny Sins dogs, we were calling them.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.